नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय बाहु खोरिखा होम सुन
सर्वलोका
नाम सूत्रे कांति फर कांति ए श्लोका Lord Chaitanya is speaking. Raising my hands, I declare, everyone please hear, everyone please hear me. String this verse on the thread of the holy name and wear it on your neck for continuous remembrance. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Actually, I will read several verses on this particular subject. After this incident, the Lord ate raw rice given by Suklambar Brahmachari and explained very elaborately the import of the Harinama Shloka mentioned in the Brihanaradiya Purana. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Suklambar Brahmachari resided in Navadvip on the banks of the Ganges. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in ecstasy, he approached the Lord with a begging bag containing rice. The Lord was so pleased with his devotee that he immediately snatched the bag and began to eat the raw rice. No one forbade him, and thus he finished the entire supply of rice. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anyata. In this age of Kali, there is no other means, no other means, no other means for self-realization than chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name of Lord Hari. This is Lord Chaitanya's own explanation. In this age of Kali, the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is the incarnation of Krishna. Simply by chanting the holy name, one associates with the Lord directly. Anyone who does this is certainly delivered. This verse repeats the word Eva, certainly, three times for emphasis. And it also three times repeats Harinama, the holy name of the Lord, just to make common people understand. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. To emphasize something to an ordinary person, one may repeat it three times, just as one might say, you must do it, you must do it, you must do this. Thus, the Brihadnaradiya Purana repeatedly emphasizes the chanting of the holy name so that people may take it seriously and thus free themselves from the clutches of Maya. It is our practical experience in the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world that many millions of people are factually coming to the spiritual stage of life simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra regularly, according to the prescribed principles. Therefore, our request to all our students is that they daily chant at least 16 rounds of this Hari Nam Maha Mantra offenselessly, following the regulative principles. Thus, their success will be assured without a doubt. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Lord Chaitanya continues. The use of the word kevala, only, prohibits all other processes, such as the cultivation of knowledge, practice of mystic yoga, or performance of austerities and fruitive activities. Purport. Our Krishna consciousness movement stresses the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra only, whereas those who do not know the secret of success for this age of Kali unnecessarily indulge in the cultivation of knowledge, practice of mystic yoga, or the performance of fruitive activities or useless austerities. They are simply wasting their time and misleading their followers. When we point this out very plainly to an audience, members of opposing groups become angry at us. But according to the injunctions of the Shastras, we cannot make compromises with these so-called jnanis, yogis, karmis, and tapasvis. When they say they are as good as we must say that only we are good and they are not good. This is not our obstinacy. It is the injunction of the Shastras. We must not deviate from the injunctions of the Shastras. This is confirmed in the next verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya continues. This verse clearly states that anyone who accepts any other path cannot be delivered. This is the reason for the triple repetition, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else, which emphasizes the real process of self-realization. To chant the holy names always, one should be humbler than the grass in the street and devoid of all desire for personal honor. But one should offer others all respectful obeisances. A devotee engaged in chanting the holy name of the Lord should practice forbearance like that of a tree. Even if rebuked or chastised, he should not say anything to others to retaliate. For even if one cuts a tree, it never protests. And even if it is drying up and dying, it does not ask anyone for water. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The practice of forbearance, taror iba sihishnuna, is very difficult. But when one actually engages in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, the quality of forbearance automatically develops. A person advanced in spiritual consciousness through the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra need not practice to develop it separately, for a devotee develops all good qualities simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra regularly. Lord Chaitanya continues, thus a Vaishnav should not ask anything from anyone. If someone gives him something without being asked, he should accept it. But if nothing comes, a Vaishnav should be satisfied to eat whatever vegetables and fruits are easily available. One should strictly follow the principles of always chanting the holy name, and one should be satisfied with whatever he gets easily. Such devotional behavior solidly maintains one's devotional service. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives us this verse. Trinarapi sunichena taror iva sihishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect personal honor, yet is always prepared to give all respect to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The grass is specifically mentioned in this verse because everyone tramples upon it, yet the grass never protests. This example indicates that a spiritual master or leader should not be proud of his position. Being always humbler than an ordinary common man, he should go on preaching the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna. brings us to today's verse. Raising my hands, I declare, everyone please hear me. String this verse on the thread of the holy name and wear it on your neck for continuous remembrance. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, in the beginning one may commit many offenses, which are called Nama Basa and Nama Aparad. In this stage, there is no possibility of achieving perfect love of Krishna by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Therefore, one must chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra according to the principles of the above verse. Trinarapi suniche na taror iba sihishnuna. One should note in this connection that chanting involves the activities of the upper and lower lips, as well as the tongue. All three must be engaged in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The words Hare Krishna should be very distinctly pronounced and heard. Sometimes one mechanically produces a hissing sound instead of chanting with the proper pronunciation with the help of the lips and the tongue. Chanting is very simple, but one must practice it seriously. Therefore, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, advises everyone to keep this verse always strung about his neck. Prabhu Agyoy Kara E Shloka Acharan Avasya Poibe Tabe Sri Krishna Charan. One must strictly follow the principles given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this verse. If one simply follows in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya and the Goswamis, certainly he will achieve the ultimate goal of life, the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Hare Krishna. Let us welcome Srila Prabhupada's loving associate, Shamsundar Prabhu, to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. And also to my wonderful god brother, Jagat Chakshu Prabhu. Trinakarta Prabhu. And Janmastami Prabhu and all other devotees. We are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 17, Text 32. Raising my hands, I declare, everyone please hear me. String this verse on the thread of the holy name and wear it on your neck for continuous remembrance. These verses spoken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reveal the very simple essence of his teachings. That in this age of Kali, the means of attaining love of Krishna is the chanting of the holy names. Now one may think that that this is one particular verse from the Brihadnaradiya Purana, which most people never heard of, except for this verse. Haranama, Haranama, Haraname Vakevalam. So why do we take it so seriously? First of all, there are many verses and many scriptures that declare in this age of Kali the chanting of the holy name is the most powerful means of awakening our love. In the Kali Santarana Upanishad, it declares this 32-syllable, 16-word mantra, the Maha Mantra, to be the greatest medicine for this age of Kali. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is declared that in this age of Kali, which is an ocean of faults, Kaler Dosa Nide Rajan, there is one blessing. Simply chanting the holy names of the Lord, one can attain the supreme perfection. Aho Bhatta Swapacho Togariyam. The Bhagavatam also explains, even a person in the most sinful background, a chandala, simply by chanting the holy names can attain the perfection of life and become a guru for the whole world. Whereas even a first-class Brahmin who practices all the Brahminical standards, if he is not properly chanting the holy names, cannot even deliver himself, what to speak of others. The scriptures are full of glorifications of the chanting of the holy names, especially in this age. But Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself. He is the Yuga avatar. He is the absolute truth. And the fact that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has selected this particular verse unlimitedly magnifies the supremacy of the importance of this verse. In fact, when Lord Chaitanya was with Prakashananda Saraswati, this great scholar of Vedanta, along with his many, many very austere, powerful followers, they asked him, why aren't you not studying Shastras with us? Why are you with all these low-class, foolish people dancing and singing all the time? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that my Gurudev told me that I am not intelligent enough to read the Vedanta. He said, I'm a fool, that I should just chant the holy names. And he gave me this verse. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalonasteva, Gatnasteva, Natsteva, Gathiranyata. In the age of Kali, there's only one way. Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. Krishna has incarnated in his name in this age of Kali. Nam Nama Kari Bahuta Nijasarava Shaktis, Lord Chaitanya taught that all the names of God are invested with all the powers of the Lord. The Lord is none different than His name. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Ras Vigraha. There is absolutely no difference between the Lord and the name. Nam Prabhu is Krishna Himself. Hare is the name of Srimati Radharani directly. And none different from her. And according to how we approach, Krishna tells in Gita, as you approach me, I reward myself, I reward that person accordingly. So according to the consciousness, the attitude in which we chant the holy names, Krishna is going to reveal his divine mercy, his love, and his own presence. This particular verse is just before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is about to begin his all-night kirtans at the house of Srivas. That happens to be the next verse. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regularly led congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in the house of Srivas Thakur every night for one full year. Describes that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he was doing Nam Kirtan all day with his devotees. And then one day he said, why are we wasting our nights sleeping? Every moment is so precious. We should perform Kirtan all night, every night, for 1 year. How is it that the devotees were able to do that? And it's not that they were struggling and straining to stay awake and like, Prabhu, wake up. It's not that they were waiting for the sun to rise so that they can, you know, take at least a little rest. They were beyond time. They were in the spiritual world where time is conspicuous by its absence. And how did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empower them to do that? We are reading about it now. He has just explained this verse that he himself had composed. Trinadapi sunichena taror ivasihishna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. If you simply do this, you can chant the holy names constantly. Krishna will reciprocate and you will experience his supreme beauty, his supreme sweetness, his supreme mercy, his supreme power. Everything will be revealed in the name from within your heart. If you simply develop this attitude, cultivate the spirit of being humble like the blade of grass. Srila Prabhupada in his purport here explains that everyone tramples on the grass, and yet the grass does not complain. The grass is happy to just be under everyone's feet, giving some nice soft experience. One should be more tolerant than a tree. And here Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada explains that even if a tree is cut, it does not protest. Even if a tree is drying up on the verge of death, it doesn't ask anyone for anything. And to offer all respect to others and not expect honor for oneself. And Srila Prabhupada explains in this regard that even if one is a guru, even if one is a spiritual leader of others with many followers, such a devotee, if he's really a Vaishnav, or she is really a Vaishnav, is more humble than the common man. Isn't after respect, if it isn't after defending the name and fame. Just eager to serve, like the grass, like the tree. And such a person can be empowered to induce love of God in the hearts of others through the chanting of the holy names. Of course, in a spiritual movement, within an institution, there are sometimes the necessity to defend and to be very bold and aggressive. That may be there. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers taught how we can even do that without violating this principle. When the Chankazi was offending the devotees, Lord Chaitanya just told the devotees, Trinadapi Sunichaja, just go on chanting, don't worry what they do to you. But then he himself, he declared, today, let us see what the Qazi does to me. I will lead the chanting in the whole, in the streets of Navadvip, to the Qazi's house. I will burn his house. I will break it down. What will he do to me? So he was very bold. It was the beginning of the civil disobedience movement. But he was doing it as a humble service for the world, for all living beings, and especially to protect his devotees. And even he was doing it to give love of God to the Chand Qazi, who was committing so many aparads. It was his method of giving that person love of God. Lord Chaitanya was being blasphemed by the students when he was chanting Gopi, Gopi, Gopi. He understood they're going to... They are blaspheming the Supreme Lord. I'm the Supreme Lord. They're going to suffer endlessly for this. So he didn't go out and, start distributing pamphlets to defend his position. Rather, he gave up his wife, he gave up his home, he gave up his mother, he took sannyas to beg at the doors of those blasphemers, knowing that as a sannyasi, if he comes to beg from them, then they have to bow down, and then by doing that, they'll alleviate their offenses, and then he can give them Krishna prema. This is Mahaprabhu's example. This verse from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is very important. Whatever particular service we may have, we may have to defend religious principles, we may have to have debates and arguments against opposing misconceptions. But we should never, ever lose this spirit. We have to cultivate this spirit of Trinadapi Sunichena. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not describing it as a detail. It's not just one of the things that we can think about and talk about. It's the foundational consciousness in which we develop our bhakti. And therefore, he raises his hands. Now, when there's not that many places where Lord Chaitanya gives his teachings and raises his hands. He already was describing this Harinam verse, how Krishna in this verse is emphasizing. Kalonasteva, nasteva, nasteva. There's no other way, no other way, no other way than Harinam, 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 than the holy name, holy name. Because when you say something three times, that is really, seriously an emphasis. It's like if someone wants to tell, if Janmasthi wants to tell Devala Rishi that, please go. But if he says, please go, he doesn't say, please go. He says, you must go, you must go, you must go. To school. Yes, that means he really has to go to school. So the intent is very strong. Yes, does he say like this sometimes? He says, that is his love. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is getting emphasis. And how to chant Trinadapi Sunichena, how Mahaprabhu, he's not only giving verbal emphasis, but he's giving physical gestures to emphasize. He's raising his hands like this. And he's declaring. He says, raising my hands, I declare. Everyone, please hear me. He's not just saying the pujari or the cook. He's saying, everyone, whatever your position is in bhakti, everyone please hear me. string this verse on the thread of the holy name and wear it on your neck for continuous remembrance. That means internally, our spirit should constantly be focused on this principle. Not a detail. And because we lose track of this, so many problems come in our spiritual lives. And with this formula, the devotees took that emphasis as their life and soul. As soon as they did that, for the next 12 months, they chanted all night long. And they dread the raising of the sun. They didn't care about eating or sleeping. Sometimes if you do like Nirjal Ekadasi, you're really waiting for the sun to rise. Yes? Quite eager to see the sun. Of course, in one sense, it's very purifying because Surya Narayan, Narayan is actually manifesting his own potencies through the sun. So by being eager to see the sun, you're eager to see Krishna, the light of Krishna, if you recognize that. But usually that's not the reason. You're really eager to see the sun rise because then you can drink water and eat prasad. But these devotees, they were so much tasting the sweet nectar of the holy name, they knew that when the sun rises, they have to break for some time. Describe when Lord Chaitanya was dancing like the goddess of fortune in the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya all night long. Devotees were chanting and dancing with him and seeing his beautiful form, and they knew that this pastime would end at sunrise. And when the sun started to rise in the horizon, all the devotees were so disappointed that the sun was rising that they looked at the sun as if they were about, with their glance, they were about to burn the sun to ashes. Please meditate on that analogy. The sun is the source of all light, all heat. But their glances were so angry that the sun was setting, they had the power to practically burn the sun to ashes by that glance. This is the effect of Trinada Pisunichi. The formula. At the beginning of these verses, it describes how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate the rice of Suklambar Brahmachari. That's the introduction to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's explanation of the holy name. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami very expertly is arranging everything in this divine literature. He sets the stage with Suklambar Brahmachari, who was a resident of Navadvip. He just lived in a very, very simple little hut on the bank of the Ganga. And he would go out begging every day. He literally had nothing except a little cloth bag that he would beg with. And he would go for several hours every day, house to house, begging. But he was constantly chanting the holy names in such love that tears were continuously streaming from his eyes. He was in ecstasy. But no one recognized him as being a great saint. The whole town of Navadvip just thought him to be another insignificant, poverty-stricken beggar, just going house to house. And Sukalambar Brahmachari didn't discriminate, in a sense. He would go to rich people's houses. He would go to the poorest people's houses. He would go to anybody's house to beg for some rice or whatever they would give. Sometimes, you know, you become selective in who you beg from because you know what they might give you. Yes? Sometimes our brahmacharis, you know, they'll go to a very big industrialist house to beg because they know they'll get something very nice. Suklambar Brahmachari, he would go even to the poorest, most impoverished people and beg from them, chanting the holy names. And after several hours of out begging, and of course we know beggars are abused because people don't like them all the time. Not knowing he was a saintly person, he was obviously abused from time to time. But he was always happy. He was actually begging for Krishna because he would take whatever he begged, he would take it to his little hut, and he would prepare it and offer it to Krishna. He was not begging for himself. He was begging for Krishna. And because this was his consciousness, constantly chanting the holy names, he was absolutely fearless, absolutely detached. He had the highest purpose to offer with pure devotion to the Lord. This is how he lived. So one day this unknown beggar who was accepted by Lord Chaitanya as one of his most confidential associates was in the house of Srivas during the kirtan. Lord Chaitanya would usually be in the mood of a devotee to teach us how to be devotee. If anyone called him Vishnu, which the devotees knew he was, he would block his ears with his hands and cry out, "Vishnu, Vishnu, save me. I am always the eternal servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord." And the Lord would oftentimes clasp on to the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas and beg for their blessings and mercy. The Lord would do menial services for the devotees. Sometimes he would wash their clothes or carry something a distance for them. He would invite them to his home and serve them with his own hands and clean for them. He loved to serve the Vaishnavas. And he would give all credit to the devotees for whatever he had. For whatever love of God he had, he would give credit to Mother Sachi. He would give credit to all his devotees. That was his nature. But for the pleasure of the devotees, sometimes he would assume his divine identity. One day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ascended the altar of Srivas Thakur and sat on the throne of Vishnu. All the Shalagram Shilas that were on the throne, he would pick them up, sit on the throne, and then put the Shalagram Shilas on his lap. And devotees would be very happy. Can you imagine how the kirtan would increase in its enthusiasm when Mahaprabhu was reciprocating in this way? He'd be dancing and dancing and dancing in the sweet ecstasies of Srimati Radharani for hours and hours and hours. Dancing with the devotees. They would be dancing in circles together. He would spin them around and they would dance, and then he would spin around and he would dance. How wonderful, how intimate. But then he ascended the throne. He sat on it. And the devotees continued the kirtan, their eyes gazing upon his beautiful golden form. And one of the devotees dancing was Suklambar Brahmachari. He was so simple. He wore the simplest raggedy types of clothes. And he had this old cloth bag on his shoulder. And as he was dancing, full of glee and joy, like a child, he had no envy, he had no malice, he had no ego. He was just dancing like a little boy. in the ecstasy of just submerging himself in the holy names. And Lord Chaitanya saw him. The bag was swirling back and forth as he was dancing, flipping around. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called him closer. And suddenly, to everyone's astonishment, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu plunged his lotus hand into the cloth begging bag of Suklambar Brahmachari. His hand came out filled with these broken pieces of chipped rice. Beggar's rice. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate that entire handful. Then he plunged his hand in again and ate that. Then he continuously plunging his hand in and eating. Sukumbhar Brahmachari didn't know what to do. He said, "My Lord, please do not do this. This rice is not fit for you. It's beggar's rice. It's just broken pieces of chipped rice." And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You are my poverty-stricken beggar, birth after birth after birth." He said, "Out of love for me, out of pure devotion, you renounce everything in this world just to serve me and please me. You were Sudama in the past life. And then too, I stole your chipped rice and I ate it. This rice is like nectar to me." And as he was speaking, he kept taking handful after handful. And in this purport of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada explains, he ate all the rice in the bag. And seeing this, the devotees were dancing, leaping, crying. So much happiness to see the mercy that Suklambhar Brahmachari was receiving. What is that mercy? If we analyze it, it's very, very deep subject matter. Most people, the mercy that we adore in another is how the Lord gives them something. Yes? If a person gets a lot of wealth, we think, "Oh, the Lord has blessed." Or if the person becomes very learned, a great speaker, "Oh, the Lord has blessed." Or if the Lord gives you good health, "Oh, the Lord has blessed." Or if the Lord makes you very powerful in various ways. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the way he showed his mercy to Suklambhar Brahmachari was not in giving, it was taking. The devotees were falling in the ground in ecstasy to see such mercy. And what was that? That the Lord was taking this beggar's rice and eating it. The greatest mercy of the Lord is when he accepts our service, not when he gives us something in return. Because devotees don't want anything in return. Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatat bhakti rohaite kitvai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this principle and his devotees personified it. Suklambhar Brahmachari was a very deep person. He probably could have become a very, very wealthy man if he put his mind to it. But he just wanted to give everything to Krishna. He was happy to beg for Krishna. And what did the Lord give him in return? He didn't give him a better house. He didn't give him better food. There's no record of that. After this instance, he was still a beggar, still lived in the same little straw hut on the Ganga, still went to at least 10, 12 houses a day. What did the Lord give him? He gave him the supreme satisfaction of accepting his service. Lord Chaitanya said, I don't want wealth. I don't want beautiful ladies. I don't want fame, followers, great scholarship. I don't even want liberation from suffering. I only want to serve you, my Lord, unconditionally, birth after birth after birth. This is the highest blessing when the Lord accepts us as a servant. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur explains the greatest title anyone could get is Das. Das means servant of Krishna. Now, what is a real servant? We get initiated, we get the word Das, but are we really the servant? We're aspiring servants. According to the Acharyas, to really be Krishna Das or Radha Dasi, or any other name in relation to those, is the highest position. It's the perfection of life. It means to have no other motivation except to serve the Lord. The spiritual master gives us a name with the title Das, because he's opening the doors to give us the opportunity to actually realize the highest position. Now, when we approach each other, now that we know, according to the Acharyas, Das is the highest position, it doesn't mean we stop saying Prabhu. We say, Das, how are you today? Dasi, you're very nice. We say Prabhu because they are Das. Yes? If a person is Das, we consider them Prabhu. Lord Chaitanya considered a Das a Prabhu. One who is serving the Lord is our master. But we ourselves should never want to be Prabhu. We ourselves want to be Das. Lord Chaitanya is Mahaprabhu. But when he was in the mood of a devotee, he never said, I am Mahaprabhu. He said, Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Dasa 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 Anu Das. He went even beyond the Das. He said, I'm the servant of the servant, the Anu, very insignificant, tiny little servant of all other servants of the Lord. And bhakti attracts Krishna so much. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Yuga avatar because he's come to reveal the simple process of self-realization. He's also Prema avatar. He's come to give the highest revelation of love of God, Prema. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Goda Dveshe Namah. This verse is spoken by Rupa Goswami. He's revealing that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself, who's the most munificent of all incarnations because he's giving love for Krishna so freely. If we just take it. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, first he gives prema. And then, when you accept it, then the Lord becomes conquered by that prema. Such a beautiful scenario. Most people in this world, we want to be respected and control others. Yes? Well, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gives prema when we beg for it. He gives it, knowing that once he gives it, then he becomes a prisoner in your heart. Once he gives it, he's controlled by your love. Mahaprabhu Krishna himself, many times, I am subordinate to your love. The gopis love when they abandon everything to come to the Bamsivat on the bank of the Yamuna, in the forest of Vrindavan. Krishna revealed his heart. I have no power to repay you for your love. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Krishna is the proprietor of everything that exists in all material and spiritual worlds. What is it that Krishna cannot give? He's the exclusive owner of every planet, of every universe, in the entire creation. Everything belongs to him. Not only the gross things, but the subtle things as well. Mystic powers, knowledge. And in the spiritual world, he's the supreme proprietor of all everything that exists there. And yet Krishna is so overwhelmed, so conquered by the gopis' love, that he is exclaiming for the world to hear, in an entire lifetime of Brahma, that means 311 trillion years, in an entire lifetime of Brahma, I have no power to repay you for the love you are giving me. Srila Prabhupada would explain, some people want to be God. Bhakti, you become better than God. You cannot be God. That's impossible. But in God's eyes, you become better than him. Harivol. You can conquer God. But if you're proud that I have conquered God, you cannot conquer God. How do you conquer God? Trinada Pisunichina. Everything is just so apparently contradictory. You become the conqueror of the supreme conqueror when you feel yourself more humble than a blow of the blade of grass. When you think yourself lower than a blade of grass, you can conquer Krishna. But it's not that afterwards, then you think, I have conquered Krishna. You're always thinking like this. This is the nature of the soul. So beautiful. So if we want to accomplish something in Krishna consciousness, there's many, you know, technical ways which we can do it. But if we actually want love of God, the way in which we should do it, Trinada Pisunichena. That's the servant of the servant of the servant. Suklambar Brahmachari, his humility in the way he was chanting the holy name was so pure. His love was so deep that Lord Chaitanya was literally craving to taste his love. God himself. How many things does God eat? In the Virat Rupa, he ate a lot of stuff. What to speak of in the spiritual world, they're offering him all such sumptuous divine foodstuffs. And in this world, you know, every house of Brahmins, you know, are offering the Shalagram Shila nice offerings, and all devotees are offering big temples. Jagannath Puri is getting, 54 offerings a day, and each offering is big enough for thousands of people. And that's just in this world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is hungry for the love of his devotee. He's craving for the love of his devotee so much that in the case of Suklambar Brahmachari, it was just broken pieces of chipped rice. Wasn't sweet rice cooked with camphor and milk and cardamom, alechi, cool just to the perfect temperature. Did any of you get that kheer that was made for Madhavendra Puri's disappearance day?
was offered to Gopinath. How many of you were blessed with the Mahaprasad of that kheer? Please raise your hand. It was really amazing, wasn't it? Unbelievable. Now, when you think of some broken, dirty pieces of chipped rice in the bottom of an old bag, just thinking of that, how many of you, your mouths are watering? I said, if we announced, if Radhakund Prabhu were to stand up and announce, today for the feast, we're going to have some dirty, broken pieces of chipped rice from the bottom of a bag, a beggar's bag, you probably wouldn't mind staying in class a little longer. Would your heart be pounding and your mouth watering? Mahaprabhu, his heart was pounding and his mouth was watering for that rice. He couldn't even wait for Suklambar Brahmachari to even offer it. Yes? According to the Vedic principles, you're supposed to offer the food to Krishna. And you know, Hari Bhakti Vilas goes through all sorts of elaborate explanations of how to offer food. First you're supposed to bathe, then you're supposed to wash all the food very nicely. It should be the best sattvic food, and then you should prepare it in a very clean kitchen after you're bathing and everything is, tilak is on. Yes? And then with elaborate devotion, we do the achman, we chant mantras, we have yantras, tantras, we do puja, we do mudra. Suklambar Brahmachari didn't do any of that. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just was so overcome with his love, he couldn't wait for Suklambar to even offer it. Couldn't even wait for him to cook it. Just took it raw. Just to show the world. Bhaktyatvanaya shakya aham evam pitorchana. Krishna tells in Gita, it is only by unalloyed devotion that I can be understood as I am. He is Bhakta Vatsal. He's conquered by the love of his devotee. He's ever endeared to the love of his devotee. Now, there were many wealthy people of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela who he gave the same type of mercy to. King Prataparudra, Buddhimanta Khan. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to marry Vishnupriya, because Lord Chaitanya was living as a simple Brahmin, Buddhimanta Khan, he said, my lord, Nimai, Vishwambar, his marriage is not going to be just another poor Brahmin's marriage. I'm going to sponsor everything, elaborately, elegantly. And Buddhimanta Khan was providing so much resources and wealth for the Lord to have a wonderful marriage. He was a wealthy man. Pundarik Vidyaneri was also a very wealthy man. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he would think of Pundarik Vidyaneri, torrents of tears would fall from his eyes and he would be screaming out, Father, my father. He loved him so dearly. His dearest associate, Gadadhar Pandit, he encouraged him, take initiation from Pundarik Vidyaneri. He's the very treasure house, the storehouse of love. Lord Chaitanya called Pundarik Vidyaneri Premnidhi, the treasure house of love. And he wore nice silks. His hair was anointed with fine oils. Apparently, he was very opposite than Suklambar Brahmachari. Yes? But in Lord Chaitanya's eyes, there was no difference. According to their position, they were serving Trinadapi Sunichaya. They were both so humble, so devoted, and they chanted the holy name with pure love. So this incident of Suklambar Brahmachari is testimony of what pleases the Lord. Pure devotion. He's not concerned if you develop mystic cities. He doesn't care if you could read minds. Because he already is in the heart. He knows every thought of everyone. He doesn't need you to read people's minds. He doesn't care if you're an astrologer or a mystic who can actually see into the future. Oh, Prabhu, in the future, this is going to happen to you. And then that person, years later, he predicted. The Lord doesn't need you to do that. He already knows. He knows every living entity what's going to happen in the future. Somebody says to you, when you were 6 years old, you fell down from a bicycle and scratched your hand. This person must be God. He knew this. Lord Chaitanya knows everything of the past. He knows everything, past, present, and future. And he's the husband of the goddess of fortune. What does he need from us? Everything we have, we are getting from him. He's the source of everything that exists. Janmadhyasayataha. There's only one thing the Lord needs from us. By his own sweet will, he wants our love. Love is the expression of our free will to please Krishna above and beyond everything and anything else. And Krishna becomes the property of such love. That is the moral of the story of Suklambar Brahmachari that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught to the world. What is of real value? It is that love. And for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if that love is in a precious diamond from the Krishna River, or if that love is from a broken little particle of chipped rice from the bottom of a beggar's bag, it's the same. It's the love that the Lord is longing for. Therefore, that bhakti is the ultimate of all wealth. Premniti. It is the supreme treasure. And the heart of a devotee that possesses that love is most sacred place, where Krishna cannot leave that place ever. And sometimes he appears to leave, to put us in separation. But secretly, he's there more than ever, more satisfied to taste the intensification of that love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, during the night, he would chant all night. Goldavecha Sridhar was another very poor person. We know about him. Trinadapi Sunichina, Tador Ibasihishna. So tolerant. He would also chant all night long. All alone. In his little hut. In Simantadweep. Kavi Chandra Swami Maharaj was telling the story. He would be chanting all night. Loudly. And people didn't like this. Some of those people, you know, they were aristocratic, at least they thought they were. And they would see this insignificant banana leaf seller. They looked down at him. From a social perspective, he had no position. And he would loudly chant all night long, every night. How was he able to do that? And they would blaspheme him, criticize him. They said all terrible things against him. Sometimes they would throw things at him. They wouldn't say he's a great devotee. Everyone sees through the filtered lenses of their own consciousness. Because they were so envious and so materialistically oriented in regard to Sridhar, they actually believed that the reason why he was chanting all night is because he was so hungry. He was just crying in pangs of his stomach. So much pain in his stomach, he's just crying out all day. Krishna's days, Krishna's names. Sometimes they just throw a vegetable at him and say, just shut up and eat. He never went on a campaign and said, no, I'm chanting because of love of God. He didn't defend himself. Let everyone think what they want to think. He just went on chanting the holy name. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically chose to do these all-night kirtans every night in the house of Srivas Thakur. But so many people blamed him. He was criticized so much. There were people, even learned people, very high people in society, who were publicly declaring that Srivas was some kind of tantric. And during the day, Srivas and his brothers would find young, innocent, naive, virgin girls. And then at night, they would secretly smuggle them into the house. And then they would give them wine and other types of intoxications. And that's what they're doing inside. They're having a tantric orgy, horrible display of sinfulness. And they're just singing all these names all night. This is what they're spreading around. Srivas just carried on chanting. Even they were threatening. They were threatening to call the king because it was illegal to do this. They were threatening to tear down his house, to beat him and his brothers and throw him in the Ganges. And one such person who was so envious was Gopal Chapala. Gopal Chapala was a very, very learned Brahmin. He was very highly placed in society. But when he wanted to, he can speak so harshly. And he just unleashed. Of course, Srivas was a Brahmin too. Lord Chaitanya was a Brahmin too. It's not a matter of what you are, it's a matter of who you are. So Gopal Chapala, at night, he arranged all different paraphernalia for a tantric tamaguna puja to Bhavani in the front of Srivas's house. Put wine, liquor, different kinds of red dyed rices and all around. Whatever paraphernalia. The idea was when people would come in the early morning, he did this in the middle of the night when no one was around, they would think that Srivas was simply a hypocrite, posing to be a Vaishnav, but actually just doing all of this very selfish mode of ignorance puja at night. Srivas Thakur, he came out before anybody else and saw it all. Now, if it was you or me, what would we do? We'd probably, you know, just get our servants and maidservants and sweep it up and, so that nobody would see it. Srivas did just the opposite. He actually called for the gentlemen and the leaders of the society. And very humbly he said, I want you to know what I do at night. This is what I do. With no malice, with no envy, he said, this is what I do at night. Actually, I'm exposed. But nobody believed him. Everyone thought, their respect for him only increased. He's so humble, he's not trying to defend himself. And then it was the gentlemen of the society that they all, you know, had sweepers come and sweep it away, and then they washed it with water, and then they sprinkled cow dung everywhere to purify it. Their appreciation for Srivas increased. Srivas Tavor Iba Sehishnuna. You see, when you become a devotee, it doesn't mean you don't get attacked. Every devotee gets attacked. It means you tatenu kam kam susumikshamano. Whatever comes, you accept it as Krishna's mercy. But at the same time, you're very, very active and dynamic to serve Krishna under any situation. You're not discouraged. Srivas was not discouraged. Let them think whatever they think. Krishna knows. But that person, Gopal Chapla, 3 days later, came down with leprosy. Very quick reaction. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here, the reactions were very quick and swift. Nowadays, you get the same thing, but it may take some time. But actually, the Lord was more merciful then. Because when it was quick and swift, then you realized, I better stop this. But now the Lord, even if you blaspheme the Lotus, he'll just let you go on and on and on and keep making more and more and more and more and more offenses. And ultimately, they all have to come upon you. The reactions are the same. But he just lets you go on and on and on. If that's your independent free will. And eventually it all comes. But during his time, swift, his fingers were falling off, his toes were falling off, his nose was melting away, his skin was oozing pus and blood. And then there were insects eating his flesh away. So many insects. He was howling in pain. And because leprosy is contagious, and in those days there wasn't any real cures for it, he was banished from the whole village and had to live under a tree in the bank of the Ganges as an outcast. And he was just laying there suffering. Some days later, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu happened to be walking. Happened to be. He wanted to teach the world a lesson. And he wanted to teach Gopal Chapala a lesson too. He was walking by. And Gopal Chapala saw him and was screaming in agony and folded his hands and bowed down, offered his full prostrated obeisances. And he said, my Lord, in the village, you are like my nephew and I am like your uncle. And you are the Supreme Lord, the protector of everyone, the deliverer of the most sinful and fallen. I am suffering so bad. I beg forgiveness from you. Please, save me. Lord Chaitanya got angry. He said, you have committed a great offense to Srivas. This is just the beginning. This leprosy you're suffering now is just preparing you
10 million births of hellish suffering. And then he walked away. Now, some of you may be wondering, Lord Chaitanya's Patita Pavan avatar. He's the deliverer of the most fallen. What happened here? Everything is revealed in time. He spoke those words to Gopal Chapala because he didn't want to just erase the suffering of his body and mind. He wanted to transform his heart. And transforming the heart is something not just superficially, but deep to the core. If he let him off easy, Gopal Chapala would probably be some kind of a superficial devotee. He wanted to give Gopal Chapala the essence. Therefore, he didn't say, all right, you know, you're begging forgiveness, you're bowing down, you're crying, you're repentant. So have a nice, healthy body and chant my holy names. He wanted to give him something more. So he said, because of this disgraceful offense of yours, 10 million births you will suffer. And this is just preparation. And then he left for Gopal Chapala to think about it. He thought about it for years. He was sitting under that tree years thinking about that. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left to take sannyas. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned on his way to Vrindavan, to Kuliagram, the modern-day Navadvip, Gopal Chapala, his heart was really deeply transformed. He approached Lord Chaitanya again, but this time he wasn't praying to the Lord to deliver him out of desperation. He was praying out of genuine humility. There's a difference. In desperation, you just can pray to God, take away the suffering, please. I'll do anything but take away the suffering. But now the Lord really humbled him. And he approached the Lord really with such humility. And he really honored Srivats Thakur. He realized his offense. He was repentant deeply. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I cannot forgive you. Only Srivas can forgive you. And Gopal Chapala went and fell at the feet of Srivas Thakur. And Srivas Thakur, he was never angry in the first place. He was praying for Gopal Chapala. Like Ambarish was praying for Durvasa Muni the whole time he was being punished for his offense. But there was nothing that Gopal Chapala could do even though Durvasa Muni, there was nothing Ambarish could do for him until Durvasa Muni came and really begged forgiveness from the heart. Then all of his prayers took effect. That is how the Lord arranges things. Srivas praying for the welfare of Gopal Chapala. He's paradukaduki. He doesn't care if someone offends him. He cares nothing. The offense, Srivas Thakur just agreed with everything he said publicly. He wasn't angry. He was happy. And then he saw Gopal Chapala's suffering like this. He was praying for him. But his prayers, they couldn't take effect until Gopal Chapala came, until his heart was receptive to the forgiveness of the devotee by his repentance. He begged forgiveness with such honor and respect for Srivas. And Srivas forgave him with love. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw this, he not only cured Gopal Chapala of his leprosy and all the other diseases he may have had, and all those insects, they may have got liberated with him. All those other insects, they all disappeared from his body, and he was now young and handsome, and his heart was overflooding with Krishna prema. Gopal Chapala was now in that spirit. Trinadapi sunichena taror iva sehishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadari. And now with a clean and humble heart, offering all honor and respect to others without prestige, he could chant the holy name. Lord Chaitanya was so happy with those devotees who were chanting and dancing with him. There are many stories, well-known stories. But every time we hear them, we derive great blessings. They were chanting, dancing throughout the day. And they were feeling very thirsty and hungry. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just picked up a mango seed. Yes? So many mango seeds laying around in Bengal. You know, somebody's already, they've already, you know, sucked all the, whatever comes off the mango seed. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to show his love for his devotee, to reciprocate with their devotion, he became like a gardener. With his own lotus hands, he dug a hole in the ground and he stuck that mango seed in the ground, buried it. And immediately, right in front of everyone's eyes, a little sprout came out. Then it became a tree. And in a matter of minutes, it was a full, huge mango tree. The leaves were growing, the flowers were growing. Then little mango buds and full blossomed, ripe mangoes. The devotees were astonished. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with his own hands, he picked 200 mangoes and washed them carefully and offered them all to Krishna. Then he ate one. It was really maha, maha. Prabhu Prasad. Then he went and distributed a mango to each and every devotee in the kirtan. But when Lord Chaitanya wants to reciprocate with the love of his devotees, he could do it in the nicest way. Each mango was so big and so juicy and so nectarine. Everyone likes mangoes? Can you imagine the taste of this mango? Just dream about it tonight. This is a mango that came, a tree that Lord Chaitanya miraculously grew, and it's an expression of his love for his devotee. He empowered such taste, such juice, such nectar in each mango, because it's his love for his devotee in the form of a mango. And those mangoes, they had no seeds and no skins. They were just pure nectar, inside and outside. Devotees were eating those mangoes, sown by the hand of the Lord, watered by the hand of the Lord, picked by the hands of the Lord, offered to Krishna by the hands of the Lord, and then given to each devotee by the hand of the Lord. The story is really a pastime of love. And why? Lord Chaitanya is Krishna and Radha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. These devotees were chanting the Maha Mantra with so much love. Radha Krishna in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was simply reciprocating with them, with their love. He was giving them the nectar of their love, and he was giving in the form of chanting, and he was giving them the nectar of his love in the form of the mangoes. Now everyone knows mangoes are seasonal. Of course, these days, as Kali Yuga progresses, you can get mangoes at any season. Yes? Because they'll get them from Thailand, or they'll store them from Maharashtra. So many ways, they'll put them in cans. But in those days, mangoes came only during the hot summer season. Otherwise, you'd never see one. This was not that season. This mango tree, every single day for the next 12 months, there was fully ripe nectarine mangoes that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally served each and every one of his devotees. This is how the Lord appreciates those who perform Nam Sankirtan of his holy names. Another day they were out in a very, very secluded place, in a field. They were chanting and dancing. It was toward the end of the day. They were chanting all day, and all of a sudden, big, dark rain clouds loomed above them. It was just on the verge of a major monsoon storm. Devotees were wondering, where are we going to go? How will we continue our kirtan in this situation? So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just looked up at the clouds, and some say he clapped, others say he played karatals, and just looked up and played the karatals as if saying, Devatas, take these clouds away. And just try to picture this. Really, just try to picture it. The entire sky is just darkened by these heavy, heavy rain clouds. And within an instant, all the clouds just go, just dissipate into nothing. By the Lord's touch of his karatals, and the command of his heart. And then in that clear sky, the golden moon rose in the horizon as devotees watched in great amazement while chanting the holy name. Of love, the power of the holy names. This selfless devotional service was revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a most extraordinary way in the following pastime. One of those nights, as they were chanting together, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Gadadhar, Adwaita, Srivas, Haridas, everyone was together. Murari Gupta, Kolavecha Sridhar, Suklambar, Brahmachari. So many devotees were together, chanting, dancing. Lord Chaitanya was dancing so blissfully along with Nityananda and his devotees. They were loudly crying out the holy names with love. Suddenly, from one of the rooms inside, there was a loud howling. Srivas Thakur ran to that room to see what is the problem. And he found that his son, who had a high fever, died. Can you imagine the devastation? All the ladies of the house, the mother, Malini, and every other, they were weeping. Our son has died. He was a small child. Srivas Thakur looked at them, and he said that Can't you understand our son's good fortune? The holy name has the power of delivering even the most sinful person. And the person whose holy name has that power, that person is directly and personally chanting it and dancing in our house. Our son is definitely delivered. I only wish in my life I could have such a good fortune of dying in the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, dancing in the house with all of his associates, loudly chanting Krishna's name. You're so fortunate. But if your crying disturbs Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy, then I will drown myself in the Ganges on this very night. So if you must be unhappy, cry softly. Don't disturb it, Lord. Don't disturb Lord Chaitanya's happiness. So they became very quiet in amazement. And then Srivas went back into the kirtan. And he saw Lord Chaitanya was so ecstatic, so jubilant, chanting and dancing with his devotees. Seeing that, Srivas became ecstatic. He was smiling, he was jumping, he was twirling, he was dancing. Because Lord Chaitanya was happy. It went on, hour after hour after hour. Toward the end of the night, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who actually knows everything, he stopped the kirtan. And he said, I feel a sadness in the environment. Did something happen, Srivas? Did something happen in your house that creates this environment of sadness? Srivas Thakur was smiling blissfully. He said, my Lord, with you dancing in my house, there is only auspiciousness and joy. And then one of the devotees said, my Lord, many hours back, Srivas's son died. But he didn't want to disturb your happiness, so he kept it quiet. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that, he reacted with such emotion. He said, what? Srivas Thakur's son died? And yet, he wouldn't even tell me because he didn't want to disturb my happiness? Then he cried out, how could I give up the association of such an intimate companion as Srivas? How will I survive leaving such a devotee? Such a devotee who out of love for me does not even know the sorrow of the death of his own son? Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu broke down and uncontrollably cried. He wept incessantly. Devotees were bewildered. What does the Lord mean by this? How will I live without him when I leave? They couldn't understand. That was the first hint that Lord Chaitanya gave that nobody could fathom. Because he knew that very soon, in order to show the highest compassion to the most fallen people, he would leave his mother, leave his wife, leave his home of Navadweep, leave the kirtans of Srivasangam, and take sannyas to give his mercy to even the most envious people. such an act of compassion. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wept incessantly, seeing the unconditional nature of Srivast Thakur's love. Then Lord Chaitanya asked, "Let me see the child." He was taken into the room, and Lord Chaitanya mysteriously inquired, "Oh boy, why have you left the home of your father like this?" To everyone's great astonishment, the little boy sat up and spoke. Said, "By your arrangement, my lord, I was given birth in this house, and I lived according to my karma. And then according to that karma, which is ultimately happening according to your will, it is the time for me to leave. I had the great fortune of living in the house of my father, Srivast Thakur, for some time. But now I must go to my next destination. I beg forgiveness for any offenses, and I pray wherever you send me, let me forever remember you and chant your holy names." Then the boy lay down, and his soul again was gone. Hearing that, and seeing the Lord gazing with love at this little child, and the child praising the Lord and speaking transcendental knowledge, everyone in Srivasa's family became blissful. There was no sorrow left in their hearts. They all fell at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet and said, "You are our father, you are our son, you are our mother, you are our everything. Please never give us up. Let us always be in the loving service of your devotees." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at Srivas and said, "Srivas, you are not without sons. From this day I proclaim that Nityananda Prabhu and myself will forever be your sons." And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with the other devotees, performed the last rites for this child. Then they bathed in the Ganga. Then they came back to the house. They performed the last rites by having a procession chanting. They did the last rites chanting. They bathed while chanting. They came back in a procession chanting. And when they came back to the house, they continued chanting nonstop. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatir Andyata. The Lord and his devotees were always chanting Hare Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through this story and through all other stories we find between him and his devotees, revealed through the hearts of the Vaishnavas the revelation of this declaration he has given. Lord Chaitanya declared, "Raising my hands, I declare, everyone please hear me. Sing this verse, string this verse on the thread of the holy name and wear it on your neck for continuous remembrance." The Namacharya is Haridas Thakur. He was beaten through 22 marketplaces. Such humility, such tolerance. The whole time he just chanted the holy name, thinking, "I deserve worse." We cannot imitate Srivas Thakur. We cannot imitate Haridas Thakur. Nor can we imitate Kolavecha Sridhar or Suklambar Brahmachari. They were of the highest standard of humility and love. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches the world through those he loves the most what we should aspire for and how to try to cultivate this Vaishnav character within ourselves. And if it is what we really want and what we really strive for, although against the modes of material nature it is impossible to achieve. But we quoted Srila Prabhupada the other day. Krishna gives it when he sees that we are sincere, serious, and without ulterior motives. If Krishna sees that we are just trying to be faithful servants of the Lord, trying to cultivate the character of humility, tolerance, respect for others, trying to attentively chant, as Prabhupada is explaining, sincerely means with our lips, with our tongue, really trying to pronounce the name the best we can. But it's not the pronunciation that Krishna accepts. It's your intent and your endeavor to pronounce attentively and clearly. If we're just that means we really don't care that much. But yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalamastaram, we're going Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. And if we're sincere, we bring it back. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That means we're serious. We want to chant properly. But at the same time, Prabhupada is explaining, it's not just the clarity in which you chant. That's part of your seriousness, that you're really doing diligently, attentively. But our character. Humility, tolerance, forgiveness. If we're chanting attentively, guarding against offenses. Actually, if you're Trinadapi Suniche Natador Idasya Hashnaha, Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari, in that state you cannot commit offenses. You cannot. And even if you accidentally do, Krishna will be very happy. Because he sees the purpose. He sees our purpose, our intent. If we are serious and sincere in endeavoring according to the order of Srila Prabhupada and his associates without ulterior motives, Prabhupada said, simply do that. And Krishna will easily give you pure devotional service. Thank you very much. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. Ananti Koti Vaishnav Vrinda ki jai. Hari Nam Sankirtan ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gau Premanandi. Would you like to have 5-minute kirtan? Just in case breakfast is not ready yet.